The topic of my sermon is loneliness that comes from God. Last week we started a new series called Nobody Wants to Be Lonely. And we talked about the reason for loneliness. And we talked about the difference between loneliness and being alone. Okay? We talked about that doesn't matter what class of people you are, loneliness can strike anybody. Rich, poor, famous, unfamous, beautiful, not maybe intelligent, and not. And loneliness can strike anybody. Do you know that people who've actually accomplished great things in life, in this world, they were great in this world, in the kingdom of God and in the world, were most likely lonely. They would experience a lot of loneliness. Mother Teresa said, the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being alone. This woman, who was such a servant, who gave her life and became so famous for it, said it was terrible to be lonely. It's the greatest poverty. Albert Einstein said, it is so strange to be so known in the universe and yet be so lonely. He was so lonely. And there are so many more people who've experienced loneliness. The righteous people and unrighteous people all alike experience loneliness. And we talked about the reason for loneliness. It's a time of transition, time of separation, time of emptiness, and time of opposition. Okay? Traps of loneliness. Do you remember any of them? Depression. Escapism. Okay? People escape into workaholism, alcoholism, drug addiction. Because they're lonely, sometimes they just look for a way to escape. You know, cutting would be another way to escape the pain. Okay? Loneliness. Now, a lot of people escape also into a fantasy world. They don't like the world they're in right now. And so what they do is they start living in a fantasy world. People escape into pornography, into all kinds of seductions. People escape into world of not reality. In a fantasy world where you could probably name those romantic novels and video games. They just escape into those things. You know that God did not design us to be lonely. God looked at the universe that He created, and there was only one man. And He said, listen, this is no good. It's not good for man to be lonely. We gotta build relationship. We gotta build somebody for Him. And He created Eve for Him. Now, the other negative or trap of loneliness is bad relationships. If you don't find good relationships, if you are not intentional about your relationships, you will end up with bad relationships. People cannot stand to be lonely. And so, church, we cannot allow our church to have anybody who is lonely. It is our responsibility to be friend to somebody. Because, listen to me, if people don't find relationships in a good atmosphere in the church, they will find them in a gang. They will find him in with a drug dealer or a pimp, or you can name him better than I can. Amen? So we gotta be friends. We gotta build relationships. We cannot be too cool. You know, some of us, we dress nice, we have good jobs, and we say, well, I don't need any more friends. You know, this person just a little weird. We can't be like that as Christians. I heard a preacher say today, and he's like, when I was young, he said, my dad would always shave me bald every Saturday. He said he would shave me bald. He said, if I wanted to buy a date, I couldn't. He's like, I was short and I was bald and people would laugh at me. And then he said, and now when I come to high school reunion, he's like, all these girls who used to reject me now want to be with me. And they're all like hanging out close to me. He's like, everybody has a season of blooming. Everybody has a season of blooming. Maybe you're an ugly duckling for a moment, but you will have your season of blooming. I hope it's not offensive what I'm saying. Everybody has its season. When we are far from God, you know, our life could be messed up. Our soul is all dirty. But when we come to God, He cleans it. He washes it with His Word. And we become beautiful. So listen, don't reject a brother or sister just because they're not there yet. Don't reject them, because you don't know who they're going to be in a month or two. You don't know the destiny that God has put in their life. And you could be running around and saying, can I stand by you? Can I take a picture? God has great plans and you don't know it. Hallelujah. So there's no reason that anybody in this church, when they come, should be ever feel lonely. And Bible even says this. When a man comes with a ring, with a nice leather jacket, who looks fancy and rich, he says, and you treat him specially, he says, isn't it hypocrisy? You put him on the first seat in your church? He's like, don't do that, brother. Didn't God call the poor, the weak, the lame of this world to shame the rich, the wise, the strong? But notice, the coolest thing about God, He calls you that way, but He doesn't keep you that way. He takes you up, He lifts you up, and in a year, you don't recognize yourself. In 2 years, people will stop recognizing you. Who are you? I don't even know you anymore. Well, good. I was hoping for that. I'm different now. And people will try to keep you down. So today the topic is loneliness that God brings. Guys, God will also bring loneliness into your life. And somebody would say, why would God do that? Why would God bring loneliness into my life? And my answer is, when God wants to do something new in your life, when He wants to take you to a new level, when He sees that you are walking in mediocrity and there's something greater for you, God will isolate you for a moment. God will leave you alone for a moment. You know, before a great season in your life, you will feel the most lonely. Before something great is about to happen, before something great that God is about to do, He will let you go through the loneliness. We see this in the Bible. Before Jesus started His ministry, what happened? Help me out. He was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. Notice, devil didn't lead Him into the desert. He was led into the desert by the Holy Spirit. And He was alone being tested and receiving His anointing. You think your anointing will come in a crowd? I don't think so. Do you think the power that God has placed in you will be revealed so much in a crowd? No, it will be revealed to you in isolation, in being alone. Paul was a great man of God. I mean, he was apostle of apostles. The Bible says that about him. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And his ministry was booming. And God puts him in prison. And most of his ministry team leaves him. And he writes to his son Timothy and says, please come to me as quick as you can because I'm alone. Everybody has forsaken me. They left me. But Paul didn't know that what he wrote to Timothy was going to be in the New Testament. Because everything that Paul wrote was letters. And now we have it as a Bible, but all it were just long letters of instruction about the church. So if Paul was not put in prison, we wouldn't have the blessing of Corinthians, Ephesians, Timothy's, Titus, maybe even Hebrews. I don't know exactly what he wrote in prison, but most of it he wrote there. So God will put you in isolation for a period of time to do something great, to reveal something great in you. And some of you are feeling it and you don't know what to do. You know when people go through this? Some of them turn into alcohol. Some of them turn to a bar. I feel lonely. I need to go be with somebody. Some turn to a boyfriend or girlfriend. Some turn to just anybody. Just be with me, please. And God says, listen, I want you to be with me. Because there's something I'm about to pour into you. Don't be afraid of loneliness that comes from God. Don't be afraid of loneliness that comes from God. When God wanted to do something in Abraham's life, and God says, I see nations in you. I've placed nations in you. He says, leave your father's house. When God wanted to do something great in Joseph's life, he had to pretty much abduct him, sell him into the slavery, and put him in prison because he was going to be the prince of Egypt. Imagine how Joseph felt. He didn't know the language, maybe. This woman was tempting him on every corner. Then he gets thrown into prison for being falsely accused. Imagine the loneliness. 15 years. This is not 3 months, which should be enough to shake some of our faith. God, if you did this to me, I'm going to sleep with that woman. I mean, come on. See, loneliness will determine your character more than anything else. You will begin to hear yourself more than ever. You will begin to see the character that you are. Jesus was tested in the desert 3 things. What was it? Glory. If you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and their glory. What else? His self-control. Because Jesus was hungry, 40 days without food. I mean, you'd be pretty hungry and skinny. Probably big beard, you know. Probably stinky a little bit. I mean, Jesus was Jesus. And the devil says, listen, turn this rocks, you can do it, into bread. Jesus probably said, you know, I could make this mountain a fruitcake or something and have butter running from it if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to control myself. I'm not going to be provoked into doing something because Satan says. You know, sometimes Satan will say to you, he says, if you're a true man of God, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be provoked into that. And so he was tested. He says, Satan says, jump from this building and everybody will know you'll become famous. Because it's written, angels will carry you. We don't do anything that Satan tells us to do. Even when it sounds good. Satan says, man, I'll give you glory. You want it? Just jump from a third story building or four, whatever it was. 200 feet. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. Loneliness is designed by God to take you to a new place. And in the new place is better than the old place. Some of us are holding on to the old place, to the old friends, to the old people, not old people in age. We're holding on. And God says, if you only trusted me a little bit, if you just came to know me in this season of loneliness, I can show you such greater things that you do not even know. That's what God is saying. When Jacob was coming back into the promised land with his families, the Bible says he was left alone. Let me read it to you. And he arose that night and took 2 wives, his 2 female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw the man that was wrestling with Jacob all night, that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this man who was wrestling with him, let me go for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What do you do in your loneliness that comes from God? You either wrestle with God for the blessing, you wrestle that Delilah that comes your way. You want to wrestle with those addictions that are holding you. You want to wrestle with those friends who are coming in and pulling you away from God and from your destiny. You want to wrestle with the time killers in your life. Bible says be careful because time is short. Be careful. Don't lose. And you know what that time word means? Kairos. You know what the chronos is? Chronos is second by second, minute by minute. It's chronological time. But there is also a Kairos time. It's like the elevator door. Elevator door opens, You walk in and it closes. It was just that. And if you miss it, you miss it. Like the door on a train. It opens, gives you 30 seconds, a minute. You walk in and then it closes. That's it. You can't catch it anymore. And you know what the Bible says? Be careful of Kairos time, because time is short. God will give you the windows. Sometimes, you know, in the movies they show a portal that opens and something falls out. Or a door, some portal, and you walk in. Those are called Kairos moments. In a lot of us, we don't see those supernatural, spooky, magical doors. We don't see them. That's not how God works. God works through natural ways. Our eyes, spiritual eyes, are closed from our physical sight. And Bible says that we're not ready to see what in the spirit. So he says, don't go into witchcraft, because witchcraft opens the eyes. Spiritual demonic activity will open your eyes to those things. God says, don't go there. Don't look there. Don't look there yet. You're not ready for it yet. Okay? But those doors are everywhere. And Bible says, be careful. Look around. And when those moments come, don't go running and looking for a crowd. Don't go running. And you'll know. Listen, I'm not talking about loneliness that comes from self-pity. Listen, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about loneliness that comes from, oh, I'm so poor, nobody loves me. That's the devil. Rebuke him. Get out of here, devil. That's not from God. But you'll know when God will put you in that season, because you'll be led there by the Holy Spirit. And it might not look pretty. It might not look beautiful. Jesus had 12 buddies. Okay? His disciples. Before he was going to go on the cross, he said, pray with me, guys, because I am just so... You know what he was going through? Imagine going on death row. And you're not bound by circumstance. You can run away to Egypt or something. Imagine knowing that tonight, tomorrow morning you'll be crucified, or tomorrow afternoon you'll be crucified. And tonight they'll come for you. Imagine the loneliness you would feel. And especially, he says, please, brothers, be with me right now. Pray with me right now so we do not fall into temptation. What was the temptation? Jesus had temptation to quit. He says, pray so you do not fall into temptation. And he prays and he looks and his disciples are sleeping. They're tired. They just had a good dinner. Passover. They had a little wine. They had their feet washed. All ready for bed. Amen. They were tired. You know, after a good dinner, you want to sleep. It was a late dinner. So Jesus says, Peter, James, and John, come with me. You're closest ones to me. You know, Jesus had inner circle too. He says, come to me. And he leaves them. He says, pray right here. I'm going to go right here on this rock and pray. And he looks, and these guys are sleeping again. And he's like, how long will you sleep? Here comes the one who's going to betray me. Judas was not sleeping. Interesting. Judas did not sleep. What was he doing? I mean, didn't he eat? Bible says when he ate with Jesus, devil entered into him. Right there by Jesus. Crazy. I don't understand that. How... You gotta be careful. Devil can enter you in the church. If your heart is not right, you could be sitting here and saying, you pastor, how can you say those things? How can she dress like that? How could he do that? Oh man, they didn't call me this week. Well, you could be full of the devil. You could be bitter sitting up here in the house of God. But be careful. It's because you come to church. It doesn't mean the devil is not going to be. But what do? You stand against him with your strong faith and say, devil, get out of here. I strike down those thoughts. You, when those thoughts, when you hear the preaching and the devil gives you different thoughts, you know, guys may be fantasizing about some girl, girls may be thinking about, oh, it would be nice for this romantic whatever dinner with candlelight. Oh, that would be, just say, I pull down those imaginations, because those are imaginations. The Bible says, pull them down and arrest them into the obedience of Christ. Say, I arrest your thought in Jesus' name. Leave me. Hallelujah. There's a difference between solitude and loneliness. Solitude, you choose. It could be great. You can choose because in solitude, a lot of ideas come to you. That's not where you feel bad. Loneliness, you can't help. You just feel lonely. Okay? So, but we're not talking about human just loneliness by itself. We're talking about loneliness that God brings. Okay? Why would God bring loneliness into my life? Number one, you ready for this? For the person to get closer to God. The Bible says there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend. Who is your best friend? God says, I want to be your best friend. I want to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And when God loves you, see, God is a zealous, jealous God. He's a jealous God. He loves you so much. He says, I want to spend time with you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you feel lonely for a little bit. And David says, my soul longs for you. I feel like a deer feels in a desert without water. I long for you, Lord. You will experience that. Don't go looking for friends in that time. Get a Bible and separate a little bit yourself. Don't go looking for something to eat. Don't go looking for something to drink. Don't go looking for that. God says, spend time with me. I want to be the lover of your soul. I want to be number one in your life. I want to be better than your family. I want to be better than your wife, your girlfriend. I want to be better than anybody. I want to be the first in your life. I did this. Don't try to fix this. But character is revealed in the desert. You'll know who you are when you're lonely. Joseph knows who he is when he's lonely. He could be with that woman. Or he could keep God's commandment. He could push it away and says, no. There is this friend that sticks closer than a brother. Nothing is guaranteed in this world. Young people, even if you get married today, it's not guaranteed that you'll be married tomorrow. I'm not talking divorce here. I'm talking, what if an accident happens? People will sometimes disappoint you. Your friends will disappoint you. You can't. The Bible says, cursed is he who trusts in a man. If you trust this friend of mine, never will leave me. This person will never disappoint me. You will be so disappointed. I got this person, I'll never be alone. Hey, even married people are alone. Sometimes, yeah. Because loneliness can strike you, it doesn't matter. You have people around you or you don't. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave us. Doesn't matter where we are. I don't know where God may take you tomorrow. He might take you on a missions trip and you'll never see us again. I don't know where you're going to live a month from now or a year from now. But he always goes with you. He sticks. Your brother might not go there with you. Your sister might not go there with you. But there is a friend. Remember this. That sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You feel his presence in this place? Thank you, Father. He wants you to draw closer to him. He wants you to know him better. God, I want to marry somebody. I feel so alone. And God says, that's not why you feel alone. That's not why you feel alone. You feel alone because I'm lonely for you. I want to be with you. And you, God, I think I feel alone because I need more friends. I think I feel alone because maybe I should go shopping. You know, that will maybe do it. Psychologists tell us, get a new hobby. I got hobbies up to here and I'm still lonely. I got friends everywhere. I'm still lonely. Involve yourself with this and that. I'm still lonely. There's a loneliness out there. I long for you. Nothing will satisfy except God. And you can drug it up, and you can booze it up, and you can work yourself to death, and you can blame everybody else in the world. Nothing will fulfill it. That spot is reserved for God. Why do kids love supernatural so much? You notice? Kids, they just love because they're born with faith in them. And they believe. And that's why Jesus says, if you had faith as a child, then we grow up, we stop believing. They know there's more. Something closer. They sometimes make imaginary friends. It's not good, but it just tells something that we are born with faith. We are born to know God. And if you take Him, just like guys and girls, we're born with sexual drives. Amen. You have a God drive, and if you don't feel that God drive, doesn't matter what you do, you'll be lonely. Hallelujah. So number one is, for a person, the reason God will bring loneliness is so we get to know Him better. Number two, to change your circle of influence. To change your circle of influence. Let me show you an interesting verse I found in Proverbs 18:24. This is a crazy verse. It says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. This is crazy. Listen to this. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. Sometimes people come to me at work and they just want to talk. And they would stand there an hour and a half with me and talk. I'm like, hey, I got to make money here. I mean, I could talk with you, but what about my employees? Somebody's got to work, you know. And if you have so many friends, just blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you just don't get anything done and you drive yourself into ruin. People with too many friends don't really achieve much in life. It's the loners who achieve a lot. Help me out here. You spend time with God alone for a while, like Jesus did, you'll begin to see great power flowing through your life. Bible says if you spend time in secret, He will reward you publicly. But if you spend your time in public, that's all. That's it. You got yours. Help me out, so don't be afraid of that. Now, don't isolate yourself on purpose. Not unless you want to spend time in prayer and fasting. That's not loneliness. That's spending time with God. So that's not even loneliness. We don't call that loneliness. But if you're just self-pity, pity party, that's bad. Go find friends. Go join a growth group. Yeah, serve in a church. Come on Thursday and help us out with, you know, folding the bulletins and typing and printing and writing and whatever. Come clean something, do something, join some kind of a team where you can serve. But there's times when it's only reserved for God. You can be lonely, and you can come to church at work. No, that's not going to solve it. It doesn't matter how holy the church is. It doesn't matter. That time belongs between you and God. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you have too many friends, God cannot speak to you because everybody else will speak to you. That's why God always separates people. He separated David from his family. Do you know that? David writes and cries out. He's like, even my brothers forsaken me. Even those who used to share in my table have raised their heels against me. And why Solomon writes it? A man of too many friends comes to ruin. He cannot write a book. Solomon understood that. He cannot think beyond, you know, just what's going on, party life. A man of too many friends comes to ruin. Now, how many friends should you have? Well, don't be like the politician, everybody's my friend. I don't believe that. But no. Everybody should have at least one friend. At least. And if you're married, you should at least have one friend you know, your wife, obviously, your husband, obviously, but then, you know, side friend. That's the same gender, yeah. Stick it with the same gender. Very important. Thank you for that. I have a friend, she's a girl, huh? My wife don't know about it. What? No. Guys have to have guys friends, they understand each other. Girls have to have, you know, girlfriends, they understand each other. And otherwise it's wrong motive friendships. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who's speaking in your life? That's very important. If you have friends, too many friends, everybody's just blah, 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 blah in your life. Who's speaking in your life? Don't allow a person who's broke to teach you about finances. God will make you lonely from that person on purpose. Don't like allow somebody who's just sleeping around everywhere to teach you about marriage or relationships. No, no, no. Don't allow people who hate everybody to teach you about friendships. Come on, common sense. Common sense is not common anymore for some reason. Find people who are doing financially good. Go talk to them. Find people who seem to have good marriage. Be friends with them. You'll learn. Find people with good relationships and learn from them. Hallelujah. Because if everybody's your friend, then nobody's really your friend. You're just a people pleaser. You just want everybody to like you. You are not loyal to anybody and nobody's loyal to you. And all it does is ruins you in the future. Listen to David. Psalm 88:18 says, "You have removed lover and a friend far from me." Talking about God. God will sometimes remove. And listen to me. The more you surrender your life to God and say, "God, you can choose my friends. God, you can do what you want to do with my life." The only thing is that He'll begin to do that without even asking you. Like, in my life sometimes, and a lot of times, listen, this happens like a lot. God would do something, and I'm like, "God, you know, I trust you on that. Looks good. Sounds good. Now I can see why. But it would be nice if you just, like, at least told me you were going to do this. Or at least asked me. Okay, if you don't ask me, just tell me. Okay, this is what I'm going to do." Like, the more you surrender your life to Him, He'll begin to do things without even asking you. That's, you know, sometimes I get like, "Man, God, I trust you. You know, I know, you know, sometimes you know God just moved a bad friend away from you. Or moved a bad person in your job or something like that. And you're like, God, I know I trust you, but it's still hard to lose that person, you know? You know it's for your best, but it still hurts." And then later you see and you're like, "Man, thank you, God. Thank you for not answering, yeah, my prayers." Hallelujah. Oh, so David says, "You have removed lover and a friend far from me. My acquaintances are in darkness." God did it. You have removed them from me. But listen, it might seem bad now, but it's going to be better tomorrow. David says, "It is good for me that I went through trials. Because I have learned your precepts. I've learned your commandments. I've learned about you. And now I'm a different person. I'm a better person." We do not change in a crowd, people. We don't need to. We change in private. And God. That's why philosophers spend so much time alone. They get to think who they are. And they recognize, "Oh, there's no good in me." We Christians, we spend time with God and we say, "Well, I'm so..." And the more you get to know God, the more you see how imperfect you are. And then you start crying out, "God, I need you." And God says, "That's what I wanted to hear." So first He shows you who you are, because you can't change what you don't see. If you're an angry person but you don't see it, and some people say, "How can you not see?" You just don't. If you're a proud person, for sure you're not going to see it. You'll be like, "Hey, I'm cool, you know. It's just confidence, you know." But when you come before God and God says, "Man, do you see how you treated that person? Oh, you see what you said to that person?" I'm like, "Oh, God." Ooh, conviction. You know when conviction comes? in the private. Conviction comes in the private. And then later you begin to change. You text them, hey, listen, I love you. You know, I didn't mean that. How many of you know what I'm saying? But if you're always in a crowd, everybody's loud, you can't hear. It's like, you said, you heard a person, not physically, hopefully, but you know, something, you said something, and then you just go on and you forget, and then you drink, and then you waste it, and you're like, why are they mad at me? Why are they looking at me weird? Because you keep putting them down. You keep hurting them. See what I'm saying? That's why spending time alone with God is so important for your character. They'll show you who you are. The more you spend, the faster you'll change. 3, for a time of teaching. In Proverbs 7:4 it says, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding, you are my intimate friend. When you spend time alone, and God will begin to teach you wisdom, and He will teach you understanding. You'll begin to understand. You'll understand more about people. You'll understand more about relationships. You'll understand Him more. Time for teaching. Let me say this. God wants your wisdom to be your friend. That's why He'll let you spend time alone for a while. Why am I making stupid decisions all the time? Who's your friend? That's His wisdom. Oh, come on, let's just call upon it. Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, be our friend. Oh, hallelujah. The Word of God says, he who has no wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. Without looking upon the face, He gives to everybody equally. And wisdom, God. I'm tired of making the same mistakes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Moses received his ministry in the back of the desert. Jesus activated His anointing in the 40 days of desert. Paul spent 13 years in the desert. You think these revelations just came from nowhere? Just grab a pen and start writing? No, 13 years in the desert. Jesus spent many years in the desert. Almost ask any person who achieved something in life. They've spent time in the desert too. Don't be afraid of the desert that comes from God. But don't go looking for a desert either. Don't go looking. Because God says, why are you hanging around in a place where there's no water? Don't hang around there unless I lead you there. Because if I lead you there, there's a reason for it. You go there yourself. And usually we end up in a desert where we stop searching for God. When we stop coming to church. When our faith stops growing. And we just end up in this desert. You know, nothing is happening. Everything is just mediocre. And we were born for greatness.